Hello and welcome to KnitWorks, a series of talks powered by Rural Knit Youth Network, covering the challenges of rural knits, young people not in employment, education or training, living in the countryside. Rural Knit Youth Network is a European-led multidisciplinary network with the goal of understanding how rural knit social inclusion can be supported. To learn more about our project, please visit rnyobservatory.eu-web. Being a young person not in employment or in education and training, also known as NEETs, is a risk factor leading to worse mental health. For instance, Barry and colleagues in 2018 found that NEETs reported more depressive symptoms than non-NEETs. Moreover, Basta and colleagues in 2019 found that older NEETs, aged 24 and above, showed more severe symptoms of anxiety and moderate to severe symptoms of depression. Some authors dispute, however, that being NEET is a risk factor for mental health issues, creating a myth that these youths are in a worse psychological condition. In any case, rural NEETs struggle more to get access to mental health care services. How can their mental health needs be addressed? Can the digitalization of healthcare improve service provision in these regions? And are there pros and cons in digitalizing these health services for vulnerable young people? These and more questions are going to be discussed in this episode of KnitWorks.
Welcome to one more episode of KnitWorks, the official podcast from Rural Knit Youth Network Cost Action. Today we have one more invited speaker, Frida Johnson. She's a research fellow at the university, Umeå University in Sweden. And she is focused on topics such as the situation of young people in rural areas, specifically vulnerable young people such as NEET. And she's also interested in e-health and intervention or programs evaluation. So hello, Frida. Nice to have you here.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So you're a member of Cost Action for about 1 year now, I think. And before we go into a deeper conversation regarding your research and how it connects with our action, what did interested you in this particular action?
Oh, that's a very good question. I stumbled across it when searching for publications around needs in rural areas, and this was sort of what popped up on the internet, and I was very intrigued by this work because it sort of it situates my research precisely, my research interest in rural areas, and the needs sort of combines them both. So I think this is a really important network shining light on a topic that hasn't really gotten that much.
So it was a perfect fit, so to say.
I would say.
So I believe that also an unexpected one, because you haven't been across many research pieces on rural needs, right?
No.
So I know that one of the focus of your research is on e-health and rurality in Sweden. So first of all, how do you define e-health? What are the main basis to define e-health?
I define it and approach it and apply it very broadly, I would say, as the use of information and communication technologies to achieve and maintain a good level of health in the population or to reduce health inequalities. And this definition is in line with both the WHO definition and also the Swedish e-health agency. So it's very broadly. But I think one of the important aspects of defining it this way is that e-health is and should be seen as a means to an end. Like it should be a means to promote population health or reduce health inequalities. It should never be, it's a tool. It should never be an end in itself. I think that's the important thing.
So think about all these trends coming out of COVID-19 towards digitalization. I wonder what is e-health offering to rural populations in Sweden, and why is it important in your country to invest in e-health?
In Sweden, obviously it has been sort of the COVID pandemic has sort of shined a light on this issue and sort of speeded up a lot of developments, but this was already ongoing pre-COVID, I would say. And in a context such as Sweden, where I guess it, as in many parts of Europe as well, rural areas have for decades been shaped by outmigration and reductions in various locally provided services, such as closing of schools, supermarkets, banks, health centers, etc. And I think in this setting, e-health is a way to obviously increase access to healthcare services for people in locations where services are otherwise absent or scarce.
And that's, I imagine that might be very important for a country as Sweden, where you have many populations that live in remote areas, right?
Exactly, and I think that is maybe one of the sort of defining things about rurality in Sweden. It's largely connected with remoteness. So rurality is a lot about living very far from the sort of the main centers, and very sparsely populated, I would say, is characterizing rural areas in Sweden.
Well, in the case of NEETs, as you know, one of the concerns has to do with mental health issues. I wonder if e-health can be an instrument in that particular area for NEETs in rural areas. Do you have any findings or any experience on that particular issue?
I think obviously, as with most e-health, I think it should be a complement to physical, and it should not be a substitute to making sure that there are also sufficient physical
Because it would be very challenging in some areas such as mental health to kind of replace 100% face-to-face interactions by e-tools, right?
Yeah, exactly. But on the other hand, I think it can also be for some young people in terms of traveling, for example, if you have mental health problems and then you need to travel for several hours, then maybe it's better to have a distance-based meeting with a practitioner that you sort of have built a trusting relationship with. I think that can be a very good solution in some regards. But I think what is important is to make sure that there are options and that it can be sort of tailored according to the needs of these needs, that we can provide e-health solutions when that is the proper solution, but still it shouldn't be replacing all the physical or face-to-face treatments, I think.
And from your experience, have you seen many changes coming out from the pandemic regarding the needs, the health needs of vulnerable young people, such as needs? What are the main trends right now?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen much research actually coming out, but that might be because might be coming a lot in the coming year or so. But I haven't seen much published yet. But it's interesting that you ask this question because I'm actually just analyzing 15 interviews that I have done with NEETs in Sweden and their experiences of the pandemic with regards to both their health and life situation. So there's going to be a publication coming out of this in this year, hopefully. But what we're seeing in this, and obviously this can't be generalized across all contexts,
Of
but at
course.
least what we're seeing in this material is that, okay, so on the one hand, the pandemic seemed to have had quite a detrimental impact on both the health and the life situation of young people who were already at the margins when COVID and the restrictions, and in countries where there have been lockdowns, I guess lockdowns have sort of been introduced. So the physical and mental health seem to have become poorer, and the life situation seem to have become slightly worse following
So
the pandemic.
and so from your experience, these changes, and from your experience also as a program evaluator, are there any interventions that should be developed to target these problems? Can you see these interventions coming?
I'm not. Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I think what obviously, hopefully at least we might be coming to the far end of this pandemic. We will never know what will reoccur in terms of new versions of the. But anyways, I think in terms of developing programs, I think we should be aware when approaching young people who, first, they were very vulnerable prior to the pandemic, and then they have gone through a pandemic, so they may be coming out even more in a even more vulnerable state, and then also coming out sort of to a situation where the labor market might be looked slightly differently. So I think we need to be aware of how, or take into consideration how the pandemic has been for, what the pandemic has been like for them.
Yes.
I think we need to take that into consideration.
And there's something that just popped up while you were discussing this specific topic, because in the beginning you said that tools like e-health are tools, are not ends by themselves. In Sweden or elsewhere in neighbor countries, have you seen any pressure to kind of shrink the services offered to rural populations based on the pandemic and based on digitalization? What are the discourses regarding public services and public and accessibility to public services?
I don't think. I obviously don't have have a complete picture painted up in front of me, but what we're seeing and hearing is that further reductions are not I don't see it among politicians. I don't see it so much among practitioners. There can't be further reductions. We have to strengthen rural areas. We have to provide more resources rather than further reduce it, or talking about more efficiency is not really the way to go. But still, like e-health and in some rural areas, small, remote, sparsely populated, a physical health center, it might not be feasible to have it there.
Yeah.
So e-health will obviously be a good solution, but still there's this balancing between.
Now because that's probably a difference with the southern countries, and as you know, I'm talking to you from Portugal, and sometimes digitalization is presented as a way to reduce services and to make them in comas more efficient. But in the end, what we're talking about is shrinking services and not providing enough quality services face to face. So I think you describe a situation where countries are not going or not tracking that particular path to reducing services. So that's a nice trend. So. Going back to your experience as a member of a cost action, was this your first cost action?
Yes.
So you are new to cost also.
Yes, I am. Okay. I am very. So this is a new experience for me. And I'm very happy too. It has been a good journey so far.
Well, so let's talk a bit about that particular experience. When you compare what you expected from a cost action and what you are learning from or experience from a cost action, what are your highlights?
Oh, the highlights is that there's first of all that there is so many brilliant scholars and minds and people out there working with these issues. So obviously I look really much forward to expanding my network and learning more about, just like you said here, like how does the rural situation look in the south of Europe, and how does the situation for neet young people living there, what are the similarities and differences to what we see in Sweden? I think that comparative perspective is really intriguing. So that is in terms of sort of topic wise, but also I am really amazed and how structured it is and how you navigate this action so well.
Well, thank you.
It's really impressive to see. Yeah.
When you think about, this action is supposed to finish in 1 year and a half, more or less, from now, what kind of things do you still want to earn from participating in this cost action?
As I said, I want to get to know the other participants a little bit better, since I also, like you said, I just entered quite late in the game. So I'm really looking forward to getting to know, especially since this reorganization, working more closely with the inclusion working group and getting to know them and collaborate with them in more in depth will be really, really nice. And then obviously contributing also what we identified in the beginning, this is an understudied topic, to really contribute to increasing and enriching the knowledge base on this important topic.
It seems that you're working hard there in understanding the situation of rural needs. You just mentioned a while ago that you're conducting some interviews. So when you think about the next 2 to 3 years, what are the next steps your research with rural needs is going to move forward?
We're actually now this year heading out to the field. We're going to collect data for this. We're doing an evaluation of community-based initiatives and exploring how they work for neet young people, both in rural and urban areas.
And with NGOs or public services or both?
What did you say? Sorry.
These interventions, are they managed by NGOs, by public services?
It's a mixture. We're including both those that are public, publicly, sort of the municipalities in Sweden.
Yes.
And then also civil society. So not private, because there's not very many private actors in this regard in Sweden. But civil society and public actors, both. And then we're all, both focusing on those who run in projects, in terms of projects, so time limited, but then also those who are part of like ordinary, have been implemented in the ordinary practice.
And these are focused on health issues or other issues as well?
No, health issues is like it's obviously an important aspect, but we're focusing more on how these initiatives work, for whom and under what circumstances, in order to facilitate the or help these young people get into education or employment. What are their strategies and that they apply to facilitate the process?
So Frida, thank you very much for your participation in our podcast series.
Thank
it was
so
wonderful
much.
To learn from your experience and from the project that you have running now and that you're going to run in the future. And I do hope that your participation in the Rural Neet Youth Network continues to be a fruitful one. Thank you.
I am sure it will. Thank you.
So this ends this edition of Neetworks. Don't forget to subscribe our podcast using your favorite platform and be sure to join us for the next episode. See you soon. This podcast is based upon work from Cost Action Rural Neet Youth Network, supported by COST, European Cooperation in Science and Technology. COST is a funding agency for research and innovation networks. Our actions help connect research initiatives across Europe and enable scientists to grow their ideas by sharing them with their peers. This boosts their research, career, and innovation. Visit www.cost.eu.